Folks, I want you to watch this video of an eagle. We played it once a couple weeks ago. We'll play it again. I want you to watch is how we're going to talk about vision. We're going to talk about determination. We're going to talk about focus. You watch the eyes on this eagle. You will wonder why they are such amazing hunters.
That they can never see coming. The bald-headed eagle.
You know that an eagle can with bionic vision up to a mile, even up to 2 miles, can see their prey with like binocular vision. It is like 6 to 8 times our best, our 20/20. An eagle is 6 to 8 times more binocular, more focused than that. I want you to open up to Job 39, please. Two places, Job 39 and Luke 9. Please go to Luke 9, put a marker in Luke 9. And then go to Job 39. Come on. Luke 9, put a marker. And then Job 39. And you know what's so amazing about an eagle's vision? And again, this is right back to God's creation. This is right back to day 5 when he created the things with wings and the things that fly and the things in the sky. This is so incredible. It is amazing that an eagle's vision, when they are so geared in, when they are flying up to 150 miles an hour, when they're in a dive, I mean, you would imagine the dust that's in the air. You would imagine things getting on their eyesight, right? On their eyes. This is crazy. Every 3 to 4 seconds, they have this interior lens that slides across their eyeball to clear it from any dust or any debris or anything that's in their eye. That's just like an automatic windshield wiper that just every 3 to 4 seconds, and it's transparent so they can see through it. So that they never lose focus on what they're aiming for. That's incredible. That's awesome. And to see that just... And it's just like, okay, they don't need the Rain-X windshield wipers. They got the God windshield wiper that's just totally incredible. And that's their vision. Now look at this. Job 39 talks about this. Come on. Verse 27. It is at your command that the eagle mounts up. We talked about that last week. And makes his nest on high. And on the cliff he dwells and lodges upon the rocky crag, the inaccessible place. Now, in 2 weeks, next week we've got Chris Miller. He's speaking on evolution versus creation. Creation wins. And then the following week, we're going to finish up this series on eagles, on being that eagle Christian. And we're going to talk about the eagle's nest. And we're going to talk about where they build their nest, how big they build their nest, what they use to build their nest, what takes place in the eagle's nest. We're going to be talking about husbands, wives, children. We're going to be talking about where it is where we need to build our home and what we need to build our home on. Do not miss that. That's in 2 weeks. That's going to be huge. Now look at this. From there he spies out food, verse 29. From there he spies out food. His eyes see it from afar. His young ones also suck up blood where they are slain, and there is he. We look at this, the Bible talks about the eagle's eyesight. The Bible talks about the vision of an eagle, how he can see his prey afar off. Now listen, you gotta understand this. When we talk about the eagle and the enemies of an eagle, the eagle only has two enemies. Because of where he builds his nest, because of the rocky cliffs and the inaccessible, the Bible says that, the inaccessible place. You know what? The eagle only has two enemies. Now, equate this to our lives, please. The number one eagle, the number one enemy of an eagle is a snake. The only thing to get up to an eagle's nest is a serpent. In Genesis, who's equated as a serpent, folks? The devil. And the only other enemy to the eagle, that's why, is mankind. The snake, which signifies serpent, and mankind. Those are the only enemies. That's the only thing that can reach a snake. When we get this and we boil this down, we look at a snake. This is so cool because when a snake begins to approach an eagle's nest, the only thing that snake is after is the baby eagles. He knows I can't go after the adult snake or the adult eagles. I can't go after those adult eagles. I have to go after their young ones. I've got to go after the babies. And this is what's so amazing. Is when an eagle, when a mom or dad eagle, the adult eagle, sees this snake approaching, because they are always looking, they are always watching, they're very aware. That's why they build the nest up high, so they can see anything that's trying to approach. And they get their eyes on this snake. It's amazing what they do. It's incredible. They jump off, they go after the snake. There's two ways they kill them. I love this. They will grab it in its talons, bring it up high into the air, and drop it on a rock and kill it. That's cool. Number two is my favorite. They will grab the snake, rip off its head, and feed it to the little ones. I vote for that. That's awesome. I mean, that's really cool how he says, okay, yeah, you thought you were going to eat the little ones. Let's flip the lid and have the little ones take you apart. That's just awesome, folks. So when we see that when an eagle is being watchful, when an eagle is being alert, when an eagle has that eagle vision, when it can't be distracted because there's so much at stake. You know, when an adult believer, a mature believer recognizes, I have victory over the enemy. An adult, mature believer who's mature in their faith, when they recognize when the enemy comes, when the enemy attacks, I am going to submit to God. I'm going to be watching. I'm going to be looking. I'm going to submit to God. I'm going to vigorously oppose. We just covered this a few weeks ago. And then you know what the enemy does? He flees. He turns and runs. But you know who doesn't understand that at times is the young believer, is the young Christian. When they just don't, they're just not there yet. They're just not looking for the enemy. They're just not watching. They're not being alert. They've fallen into a certain pattern. It's the adult believer that has to, listen, just like the eagle, has to protect the young, immature Christian who the enemy wants to come and rip apart. Now listen, point number one of this message is this. I want you to see it. We as eagle Christians, we as those who are called to be like eagles, folks, we have to have our eyes on our enemy. If we are not being watchful, if we are not being alert, if we are not looking for the enemy, as a mature believer, he's going to get his advantage. Now look at this. I want to see what Scripture says. Look at this right here. 1 Peter 5:8. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. The Bible, God warns us, listen, be sober. Don't let yourself come to that point of being intoxicated where your mindset is somewhere else, where everything is foggy, where you just can't think clearly. He says, be on the alert. Be on the alert. Your enemy is looking. He is coming. But this is so amazing that when you see him coming and you come and you submit yourself before God and you begin to resist him, you vigorously oppose him, then he will leave. Then he flees. But the Bible tells us that we are to be looking and we are to be watchful and we are to be alert to know that he is coming. And gang, as the mature believer, listen, this is where we need to protect the younger believers. This is where we need to protect those who are coming into faith. This is where we need to protect those who were once blind and now they see. Now they've come to the glory of Jesus. They recognize what Jesus done for them. They don't have it all right. I don't have it all right. Renee's got it all right. I ain't got it all right yet, right? So just imagine those who've lived in the world and now they're coming to faith. Man, they want to learn. They're hungry. They're trying to work this thing out. They're doing amazing things. The enemy is going to attack. He's going to attack. And we as a mature believer need to be watching for that. Huge. Look at the second verse. Matthew 26:41. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Keep watching and praying. Keep, that word keep, great word. Keep on. Keep keeping on watching. Don't ever stop watching. That's what that means. Keep looking. Keep watching. Keep praying. Don't stop praying. So then you will not enter into temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Gang, over and over and over, Scripture gets us to the point to be alert. Scripture gets us to the point to keep watching. Look at this next verse, 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be on the alert. Again, be on the alert. Be ready at all times, in every season. Be ready, be on the alert. I love this. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Oh, I love that. Act like men. Men, act like a man. Men, protect your family. Men, cover your family. Men, provide for your family. Men, you are the ones to be on the edge of the nest, looking, searching for the enemy, looking for that snake, waiting for that snake to pop its head, ready to rip that snake's head off, ready to go after the enemy. Be on the alert, stand firm in your faith. Men, act like a man of God. Act like one who really says, I am going to protect my family with everything that I have. I am going to be on the alert. I am going to be sober. I am going to be looking. I am going to keep watching. I am going to keep praying. And I'm going to be on the alert. And I'm going to be strong in my faith. I'm going to act like a man. And then this says to be strong. Men, we need men today to lead your families in a God way, to be that manhead of that family, to lead, to protect, to guide, to direct your family in a spiritual way. The Bible says that you are the head of the house. That means you are the spiritual, accountable leader of that home. And you need to be looking for where that enemy is going to attack. You need to be looking for what's going to take place in your family. We got to recognize that when we are going to stand firm against the enemy, we need to be looking for. The second thing that comes against the eagle is people. Mankind, they can shoot them, they can take them out, they can trap them. Only has two enemies. How about us in the church? How many times does the church hurt their own? How many times as we as Christians, as believers, even allow the outside world to come in and distract us? This morning is about distractions. What is it that you've allowed as a believer, as a Christian, to come in and to get you off course, to come in and to distract you? Those eyes of that eagle, man, that followed that fish in the whole way. He didn't take his eyes off that fish until it was in its talons. What is it that gets us off course, folks? What is it that gets us? Are we going to allow people? Worse than that, are we going to allow church? Or people in church to distract us or get us off course? You know, this is something that I wrote this week. It was had no intention to sharing it with the church. This was between me and the Lord. It was about, I don't know, somewhere between 5 and 5:30, maybe Tuesday morning. And I just woke up and my heart just broke for people. My heart just breaks for people who know and love Jesus Christ, but have been so badly broken because of church. Because of church. Are you kidding? Really? And my heart was just beginning to cry out. And then I just grabbed the pen and started writing. And again, I just felt I just needed to share this. This is my heart as I was crying out to the Lord. Because I with everything in my being, want this place here to never be a place where people hurt people. We have enough people trying to take us out. It should never, ever be us. Ever. And my heart is, God, that this would be a place that people are built up, people are encouraged, people love church, people can't wait to get with the family, people leave this place encouraged, people leave this place exhorted, people leave this place fired up to serve you in the midst of circumstance, in the midst of difficulties. Their eyes are on you because they're built up, they're encouraged, they're on the right team, they're in the right family, serving you and pleasing you. That is our heart here at Believers Chapel. Listen to this. Jesus, you are the head of this church. You are my Lord, Master, and King. I serve you, bond slave. You know what the difference is between a slave and a bond slave? Bond slave who was set free, who willingly comes back to serve. Please break my heart for these amazing people. Help me to love, encourage, build, equip, and protect them. To live their lives in a reflection of your love. Never allow me to badger, control, or feel like they belong to me or Believers Chapel. They are yours. You have called them to yourself, not me. Thank you for allowing me the privilege and honor of serving this region. It is so wonderful. Keep me selfless and fearless, always in love, always in truth. Mount up. Folks, just like the ego has two enemies, Satan and people are our two enemies. And how many times do we allow mankind to come in and distract us and to get us off course and begin, even the Christian or the believer, to come in and judge and hurt and maim and say words that are destructive? And then that just tears people apart. What is it, folks, that gets you distracted? You know, today we live in an electronic day. We live in a day and age where you have always are supposed to be available. I'm not sure where that's written here, but you're supposed to be available at everybody's whimp and call. Well, I text you and you didn't text me back in 2 hours. I hope I get to you in the middle of the week. I mean, well, I called you and you know, we are been trained that we have to be, and we have a computer in our hand at all times. We've got Facebook, we've got Twitter, we've got the electronics, we've got the television, we've got. How many times wouldn't it be awesome to just put that thing down and turn it off for 3 days and see what happens? Then what do? Well, then I have to talk to my wife. That'd be a great thing. Well, then I'd actually have to spend time with my kids. Yep, that'd be a great thing. That we would put these things. What is it, gang? We are so trained and we're so easily distracted. Where we lose focus on our enemy. He has us so busy. He has us so running on things that just keep us off track. I tell you what, this morning I want to bring this thing right back into what is it in my life that has got me distracted? What is it in my life that has kept me so busy? What is it in my life where I am not keeping my eyes on the enemy? I've got my eyes on everything else and I'm under attack and the enemy's getting victory in my life. Well, why is that? God, listen, the word says to keep alert. The word says to keep watching. The word says to keep alert. To look for him, look for him, look for him. But at times we get so busy doing everything else, he sneaks right in there and he takes a bite. And we wonder why he's got a grip. Because we've allowed ourselves to lose focus. We've allowed ourselves to get off track and to be distracted. Crazy. Crazy. Look at this. The second one is this. The second point is this. You got to keep our eyes on our strength. When the Bible says that an eagle mounts up, when the Bible says that an eagle can fly about 100, well, the Bible doesn't say 150 miles an hour, but we know that an eagle can fly about 150 miles an hour in a dive. We know that an eagle can rise above the storm. We know that an eagle is called to mount up. You know where that comes from? You know how an eagle is able to fly above and how to be able to fly so strong? His strength comes from his diet. See, an eagle will do his very best to eat anything that is alive and that is fresh. It will eat a live fish. It will eat a live rabbit. It'll even go after a goat. It'll go after anything that it can. It'll go after dogs. It'll go after wolf. Anything that it can come and get its talons on and rip it apart by its beak. That's live and fresh. That's where the eagle's strength comes from. Only in a very last resort will an eagle eat something that's dead. Isn't it amazing that this says right here in verse 30, and the young ones also suck up the blood. It comes from the freshest of kill. Their diet is their strength. Their diet, the meat that they eat that's fresh kill, that's their strength. You know what our strength is, folks? You know what our spiritual strength is to be able to mount up, to be able to overcome, to be able to fly, to be able to be that man that leads our family, to be able to be that man that takes the hit, to be able to be that man that sacrifices. You know where that strength comes from? Right here. The enemy will do everything that he can to get you distracted and to get you off course when you're not spending time building yourself up in strength. And then we wonder why we're so weak, and we wonder why our faith begins to take a hit, and we wonder why. This is to be our diet. I want you to see this. The Word of God. Put this up here. You got to see this. The Word of God. There are those who read it and forsake it, and they rebel against God. There are those who read it and forget it. It becomes useless. There are those who read it and fear it, have a great reverence for it as God's written truth, and it becomes life-changing. Which one am I? And which one are we? That we would actually read this as it is God's word, and we would read this as it is God's truth, and we would read this, and we put it in our lives, and we would eat on it, and we'd chew on it, and we'd digest it, and it would be our strength, and it would come to build our strength up. Do we come to that point to be the last one? There are those who read it and fear it, which means to respect it, to honor it as God's word. It becomes life-changing. Come on, a couple verses here I want to show you in Scripture. Jeremiah 15, 16. It's amazing because if I'm studying this week and I'm going over, you know, the diet of the eagle, and then I love these verses. Look at what it says. Your words were found and I ate them. Awesome. For your words became for me joy and the delight of my heart. This is he's equating them to putting, not don't eat the pages. That's a bad, get it out of your mouth. Don't do that. This is what we're talking about. That he's equating it to really putting it within himself. Now, I was so hungry for it that I ate it. I digested it. I put it within me. And what happened? It became a joy, and it became the delight of my heart. Was what? His word. For I have been called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Look at the next one. This is great. Job 32, 12. I have not departed from the command of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth. This is the scripture right here. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than necessary food. Look at how he equates it to food, how he equates it to strength. In our bodies, if we don't eat, we will lose strength. Our strength physically comes from the food we eat. If you eat healthier, you will have more strength. That's just truth. The healthier you eat, the stronger you are. I have not departed from the command of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Look at the equation here. I can't go without this. I can go without food. I can fast. I can go, but this right here is necessary, as more necessary than even the food I eat for my spiritual strength. This is huge. The enemy will do anything in his power to keep you from this book. He will do anything in his power to try to discredit this word. He will do everything in his power to get some little stupid little lie in there to try to deceive you. Well, I don't know if all of it's true. If all of it isn't true, then none of it's true, folks. And we've got to be on that right page that all scripture is inspired by God. All scripture is God-breathed. Every bit of it has come from God for us to instruct, to encourage, to correct. Incredible. We've got to realize that this is God's living word for us to walk in a way of strength, to walk in a way to be overcomers, to walk in a way to be set free. Amazing. Look at this last verse. Psalm 119, 103. If you want to read on the word of God, Psalm 119, every verse in Psalm 119 deals with this. Every verse. Psalm 119 has the most verses in any chapter and book. And every verse has to do with this. Incredible. How sweet are your words to my taste? Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Again, equates it to food. From your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, from your word, I now see. From your word, now I understand. Because I have devoured your word, because I've eaten your word, because they are so necessary for me, because now that I have understanding, now that I read your word and it's clear to me and I understand it, look at the result. Therefore, I hate every false way. How do you know what's a false way? When you understand truth. When you understand this, you begin to recognize, no, that doesn't line up with this, and I'm going to line up with this. My understanding now, as I've devoured this word, if I've studied this word, if I ate on this word, my understanding now is something that's opposite of that. Therefore, now I see every false way. Gang, there's times, even as a mature believer, you'll be going through this amazing book, and you'll be going through verse after verse, and then God will just show up, and he'll begin to speak to you. The Spirit of God will bring remembrance. He'll do something where you were like, that's a sin. That's wrong. And I've been doing that. And God, I'm asking for you to repent. I'm asking that you would forgive me. I repent. Isn't it, even as a mature believer, you're reading this thing and gaining understanding, and you're going, I didn't know that was a sin. And now I have understanding. I believe that this is from you. Thank you for sharing that with me. Thank you for showing me this. That's the power of the Word of God. That's the power of the Word of God. It's huge. It's huge. Gang, the enemy will do everything in his power to distract you. What is it that keeps us on target? What is it that's going to keep us focused? What is it that's going to build our strength? This is such a real message for this church. For this church, because we are living out truth. We are Believers Chapel, living out truth. We live by this right here. This is truth. The Bible says, sanctify them in truth, for your word is truth. You know what sets us apart from any other religion? You know what sets us apart from everybody else? You know what causes us to be salt and light? Jesus was praying that in John 17:17. Sanctify them, set them apart in truth. For your word is truth. You know what sets us apart, folks, is that we actually take this for real and we believe it and we live it, and it makes a difference in our lives. It's huge. Come on, Luke 9, please. Luke 9. This is great. And I think the greatest example, we have to go to Jesus. We have to look to Jesus and to look what Jesus did and how he was determined, how he was focused. How he set his eyes on a goal and he accomplished that goal. Jesus, our absolute perfect example. Jesus, the one who put himself on a cross, died for us, and that we are to imitate and be like Jesus. We're being transformed to be more like Jesus, to look like Jesus, not in a physical way, but to act like him and to look like him in a spiritual sense. He gives us the great example of what it is to be determined, what it is to be focused. Look at this, Luke 9:51. And when the days were approaching for his ascension, he was determined to go to Jerusalem. Point number three is this. I want you to see this. Write it down. You have to keep your eyes on our goal. What is it? What is your goal as a believer, as a Christian? What is your goal? What is it that gets your eyes off of your goal as a Christian? As a believer, think about that for a second. What is your goal as a man of God, as a woman of God, as a teenager who surrendered your life? What is your goal? What gets us back on track to keep our eyes on the goal? Look at Jesus. Look at verse 51. And when the days were approaching for his ascension. Listen, Jesus understood perfect timing. Jesus knew when that day would come. This is the deal. When the days were approaching for his ascension, he was determined to go to Jerusalem. Your version might say he was steadfastly set his face towards Jerusalem. Jesus made this absolute This direction change where he says, it is time. I've got to head in this direction. I've got an appointment for the cross. I've got to get to Jerusalem, and nothing. I am set. I am steadfast. Nothing's going to get me off course. I've got a destination, and it's Jerusalem. Now look at this. This is awesome. And he sent messengers ahead of him, and they went on and entered the village of the Samaritans. Samaritans and Jews, oil and water. Did not like one another, hated one another. The Samaritans were like half Jews, half Gentiles. They mixed and matched. The Jews thought they were small and tiny and impure and should never be on the planet. And they just, it's just ugly, ugly, ugly deal. And Jesus sent messengers ahead of him, and they went and entered the village of the Samaritans to make arrangements for him. But they did not receive him because he was traveling towards Jerusalem. This is right after he set his face on course. Right after he says, it's time, I'm going. And then imagine that as soon as he sets course, adversity comes. As soon as he set course, he gets rejected. Isn't it amazing when we come to that point that we set our face towards God and we set our goal spiritually, and we set our goal to be strengthened. Something happens that tries to get off false course. Something happens, adversity comes, or something takes place in our lives. Where we're rejected, or somebody says something, or the enemy shows up, or whatever takes place. As soon as we set our face towards a goal, spiritually, something takes place. You're in good company. Because it's the same thing that happened to our Savior. This is awesome. But they did not receive him because he was traveling towards Jerusalem. But look at verse 54. Do you ever just read scripture at times and go, did you really just say that? I mean, this is awesome. Look at this. When his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? I mean, what? Fire from heaven? I mean, here's the Lord. He's headed towards Jerusalem. The Bible says that he turned around. Did you really just say that? James, you've been reading the Old Testament. John, you're studying the Old Testament. Fire come down from heaven. I mean, when we're looking at this, Jesus turns and rebukes him. They actually said that. I mean, you got to go through scripture times and say, really? Fire from heaven? And listen, gang, I know. I've tried that. It don't work. God, this would be a great opportunity to blow this person up. Awesome. Throw a fireball down. Come on, God, this is great. And listen, I'm a dad, okay? I have a daughter. I'll be praying that. God, this dude, take him out. I mean, this is a time for a fireball right now. Boom, blow him up. That'd be great, right? I mean, come on, I know you thought that. This is you in the Old Testament saying, God, do it. Come on, hallelujah. This is great. Look what Jesus says. But he turned and rebuked them. He said, do you not know what kind of spirit you are? For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Now look at this. Turn to Luke 13, please. Luke 13. We're going to go through Luke for just a minute. Brendan, you can come up, man. Luke 13, 31. And at that time, some Pharisees approached, saying to him, go away, leave here, for Herod wants to kill you. Listen, Jesus is en route. Luke's a great account. If you want to know what took place in consecutive order, Matthew, Mark, and John kind of at times flip the order a little bit. Luke in Luke 1:3 says, I have written this in consecutive order. So we know from Luke 9:51, Jesus set his face towards Jerusalem. This is in a consecutive order. Luke 13:31. And at that time, some Pharisees approached him saying, go away, leave here, for Herod wants to kill you. Herod was a terrible man. He was deceptive. He was cunning. He was a liar. Look at Jesus. This is awesome. If you ever thought Jesus was a little wimp, listen, Herod's the governor. He has absolute power. Now look at this. And Jesus says to them, you go tell that fox. You go tell that fox. Behold, I cast out demons. I perform cures today and tomorrow. And the third day, I reach my goal. Nevertheless, I must journey on today and tomorrow and the next day, for it cannot be that a prophet would perish outside of Jerusalem. I am headed to Jerusalem. You tell that fox, he can't knock me off course. You tell that fox, I am doing miracles. I am curing. This is who I am. And you know what? Tell him I'm going to be in Jerusalem. That's where I'm headed. That's powerful. Come on, look at Luke 17. Look at the determination of Jesus, our Savior. Luke 17:11. While he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. Come on, Luke 18. Look at this. Verse 31. Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem. Okay, nothing was going to get him off course to where he set his eyes. Now, this is an amazing piece of scripture. He took the 12 aside, a little private conversation with the 12, to have a very serious conversation of what's ahead. He says, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things which were written through the prophets about the Son of Man will be accomplished. Gang, this is the deal. We're heading into the city of Jerusalem. And I want you to know what's going to take place. Everything that you've heard in the Old Testament about the Son of Man, it's going to take place. For he will be handed over to the Gentiles and will be mocked, mistreated, and spit upon. And after they have scourged him, they will kill him. And then the third day, he will rise again. But it has to happen in Jerusalem, because that's where we're headed. Luke 19, verse 28. And after he said these things, he was going on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. Gang, we have a perfect example of what Jesus has done for us in his determination and his understanding that he's got to get to Jerusalem. And John 19 is so amazing because we recognize his absolute ultimate goal was to get to that cross. And nothing was going to interfere. And nothing was going to get in the way. And nothing was going to get him off focus. They tried. They rejected him. They came against him. Herod came against him. Nothing, nothing, nothing. We are going to Jerusalem. We're going to Jerusalem. I've got to go. I'm going to get mocked. I'm going to get beaten. They're going to kill me on a cross. We've got to go. And then John 19, it just absolutely brings this thing right to a close. It's incredible. That here Jesus is. He's been beaten. He's been scarred. He's been rejected. He's been spit on. He's been marked. He's been falsely, in a mocking, complete joke of a way, crowned with thorns, blood dripping down his face. The Bible says he's unrecognizable as a human being. And that's what he was so determined to get to. And in John 19, we see when all said and done, wrath of God has come, our sin has been paid for, and Jesus says these amazing words. He says, it is finished. The goals that I've had on this earth have been accomplished. It is finished. All has been done. Folks, how focused are we? Are we constantly looking and aware that we have a very real adversary who's trying to come against us? Are we being strong in our faith based on our diet of the Word of God? In Matthew 25, you know, what is my spiritual goal? Yes, I want to be the best, most amazing husband for my wife. I want to love her. I want to praise her. I want to honor her. I want to love her as Christ did. I want to sacrifice for her. Yes, I want to be the most amazing dad for my daughter, for my two sons. Yes, I want to protect them. Yes, I want to guide them. Yes, I want to teach them. Yes, I want to train them. Yes, I want a house that fears and reverences God. Yes, I want to be one of those homes that say, no matter what takes place, we're going to serve God. You choose and you choose, but my choice that we will fear the Lord. Yes, that's what I want. Yes, I want more than anything to serve you and to honor you and to reach and preach in such an effective way for this church that lives are being changed and hearts are being turned and people are laying down sin and people are laying down past and people are being set free and the Spirit of God is working in this place in a powerful way. Yes, I want that. But more than anything else, folks, this is so real, is there will be a day that I will stand before my King. And Matthew 25 says this, that when you are one who has served well here as a slave, Jesus, I see it. Jesus, this is my goal, my absolute spiritual goal, is to stand before the King, that he will say, well done. A good and faithful servant. Well done, thy good. That word good, it means quality. Sean, well done. Quality service. Sean, well done for being faithful. That word faithful, it means trusted and worthy. Gang, that is my absolute spiritual goal. That is what every one of us who know Christ as King, who know Christ as Lord, who know Christ as Savior, that should be every one of our absolute ultimate goal, is that when we stand before our King, well done, Sean. You have quality service. And you were faithful. You were trusted. And you were worthy to be a slave. Incredible. Incredible. Come on, let's stand. Father, we thank you for this morning. God, we thank you for this message. God, let this rearrange our thinking. God, let this rearrange who we are. That God, we will never allow anything to get us off track. Father, that we would stay focused in who we are in you. We would stay focused on the enemy. We would stay focused in your word. That would build us and it would strengthen us and it would feed us, God. We would long for your word as we read this morning, that we would eat it. It would be necessary food, God. It would strengthen us and build us to be able to overcome. Hallelujah. And God, that it would be our absolute ultimate goal to stand before you, Jesus. That we would hear those amazing words, well done, thy good and faithful slave. Hallelujah. Exalted.